Greetings, this is James Gillen on the As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network, and we've got a great show tonight. We've got a couple things we need to announce before we get going, and we have the September 28th teleconference with Ashley, and that's going to be at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and so you can check the website for details. And coming up the weekend of September 29th to October 2nd, we've got Laura Eisenhower presents her Be the Shift mini conference, and she's got several other guest speakers. So they're sharing their insights into the ascension process and contact. And there's still places available. So be sure and connect into that, you know, register on the site if you want to check that event out. It's going to be a great event. Some great speakers. I'm going to be one of the speakers as well. So I'll be able to update people on what's happening on the planet. The first 3 weeks in October, our Skywatch weekend, Zeke Isetti, with a special volunteer weekend coming up October 13th. And we're going to have people coming up volunteering to get the ranch ready for winter. And that's always fun. We've got the weekend of October 8th to the 9th. I'll be part of an online experiencers webinar. And we'll give our give all that information out on the newsletter and up on the link. So that's in process right now. Friday, October 14th. I'll be speaking at the Triad Theater in Yelm. That's always fun, going into Yelm and talking to the Yelmanites there. But we'll give you more information on that soon. The registration and all the other stuff will be on the website. October 29th and November 2nd is the last workshop I'll present this year with the Return of the Self-Mastery and Making Contact workshop at Isetti. And I'll be co-presenting this with Tashina. And she's on the Hopi Reservation right now, I believe, and she's working very hard in bringing awareness to a lot of things going on, you know, on the reservations and other places as well. So I know she's been involved with Standing Rock and some of the other things, and I'm trying to get her on the show, but she just hasn't had cell phone, couldn't reach her, you know, because a lot of people don't have cell phone connections there at Standing Rock. So anyway, we'll get an update on what's happening there. But from what I've heard, everything's kind of on hold right now. But you know, you never know. The golden rule is he who owns the gold rules, unfortunately. But I think that's going to change here really quickly because there's just too many people that are not going for this, you know. So, and then I'll also be back in Detroit November 4th through the 6th for the Awaken and Power Expo. And again, you can check out any of these events at the, if you go to www.privateinvitationesetti.com. Again, that's privateinvitationesetti.com. And you can register for any of the upcoming events. And if you have any questions, just, you know, send us an email at esetti2016@gmail.com. All right, announcements out of the way. There's a few other things I wanted to talk about before we get going on the show. I don't know if people are going to be watching the debates Monday, but actually I never get involved in politics. I usually, you know, I know it's just, you know, the install a lesser of two evils and they just continue with the status quo. And that's been going on for years. But I think this is going to be really interesting. And I think it might be almost a comedy show or sad but funny, you know, you might say. But you know, with Trump and Hillary going at it. But, you know, Trump could take care of her in three or four questions, you know. And, you know, we'll see how she does. She usually accuses of everybody else of what she herself has been doing. And she's a master at that, you know. So we'll see how she tries to shift the blame on what she's done to the extreme. You know, I'm sure she'll turn it around. But, you know, basically all he has to do is ask her, you know, well, what about making available top secret files to every hacker on the planet, you know, or, you know, how about Benghazi and the gun running thing going on there, you know, that you didn't do anything about and let the people die. There's so many things, you know, the over 70 dead bodies related to her career, you know, and then the Waco things, you know, and the Clinton Pay to Play Foundation and the missing billions of dollars, you know, nobody knows where that went. But anyway, you know, it's like, it's going to be really interesting. I wanted to comment on the Hillary video, too, where she sees stumbling and falling into the van. There's another video that's out now, and they have two videos. And one, the driver comes in on the right side, and she gets in on the right side of the van. And the next video, it's the exact same video, basically. And the next one, she gets on the left side of the van. And what's just really interesting is that this was a staged event. This whole thing was staged. Why they staged it is a different story. You know, it could be a setup to set up all the conspiracy theorists. There's a lot of different reasons why that be, you know, sympathy. You know, a lot of different reasons why that might be staged. But anyway, you know, I wouldn't fall for that one. It just, there's something really wrong with that video, especially when the van pulls up in two different directions and the exact same scenario is orchestrated. And so something's not right there. So, you know, pay attention to that. It might be a setup, you know, giving everybody a false sense of hope that everything's done, everything's taken care of, and it may not be. So, again, we need to really get into the minds of how a lot of these people work. They don't think like us, and they're very good at psyops and you know, guiding people to think in a different way other than what's really happening. I want to talk a little bit about the LE, the extinction level event with this giant meteor that's coming in. I guess it's supposed to hit us on the 23rd, the 24th, and 25th. Obviously, we're still here, so they must have missed. But this was going all over the internet, and I got calls from everybody going, well, what should I do? You know, should I cash out? Should I head for the hills or whatever? And I want to tell you something. A lot of people don't know about this, but the Earth itself has systems in place that are there to take care of these events. And these systems were left over by the ancient aliens. Now, the I think it was Valerie Yuvarov gave a talk about this back in the 90s on how they came across these systems, and they were set up to shoot down any major, you know, large meteors that might be coming in that to create an extinction level event. And what we found out is there's actually 16 of these facilities, and they're in really remote places like Siberia and things like that. And unfortunately, you know, our Black Ops boys actually took a couple and dismantled them because they wanted to figure out the technology and weaponize it. Not a good move, you know. So anyway, they've been dismantling part of our defense system that's been left over by the ancient aliens. You know, there's other civilizations here on the planet. There's inner Earth people. There's all kinds of things going on, and it's not in their highest and best good for the planet to be destroyed. So anyway, we've got, you know, the secret space fleet, which could take care of that. The ETs can pulverize a meteor and turn it into dust. That's not a problem. They can actually break the molecular bond on the entire meteor where it just turns into dust, basically. And, you know, we have that technology. And so for everybody to freak out about these meteors coming in, it couldn't come in unless it was allowed to come in. There's just too many safeguards and too many other beings up there doing batting practice on our behalf. And we also have the sun. They've been blocking major kill shots from the sun and things like that. They've been very active in assisting us to continue with our evolution. So, you know, we need to start looking at them, you know, not sideways, but with gratitude with the work that they've been doing on our behalf. There's a lot of work that's being done by the multidimensional beings, ultra-dimensionals. And it's all in our highest and best good. And it's about turning this planet around and getting it reset, you know, to its original intent, which was to be in Eden and evolve to its highest potential. But it got hijacked. So anyway, there's a major cleanup with the hijackers, you know, the reptilians and serpent beings and archons and some of the grays and things like that. They're all being cleaned up right now. We're in a major shift and their puppets are floundering. You know, the puppets that have been working them, that people have done, you know, high-level ritual to and sold their souls, are not doing too well. Those people are, they don't hold up very well once they lose their host. They just start falling apart very quickly, which might be a clue as to what we're seeing in the political agenda. So anyway, with that being said, I want to just cover a few things and tell people what's going on that level. The big global reset, all that stuff is well on the way. The funds are where they need to be finally, and they've gone in and dealt with the people that hijacked it. And so things are going to start moving forward very quickly. Again, a lot of times people are saying it's already done, this, but it hasn't been done. But I know from the highest levels that finally it is done and things are where they need to be. And that's all I'm going to say on that, because I don't really want to talk too much more about that until things actually manifest. But hopefully, you know, this whole financial system is going to turn around and be a lot more user-friendly to the people on this planet. We have a couple guests tonight that I want to bring on because they had some very interesting experiences, and both of them do a lot of healing work, a lot of grid work, and they have their own unique ways of doing that on the planet. And they came to you said and had some pretty major experiences here, and so I'd like to bring them on the show. I believe it's Suzanne and Emily that I think she goes by Emmy. I'm not sure, but let's see if we can bring them on the show. Hello, are you with us?
Hi. Yeah, we're here. And
this, hey.
Hey, Petri is also here because we work together.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, so anyway, we could probably start maybe with Suzanne. And Suzanne, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the work you've been doing on, you know, the planetary grid and some of the other things you've been involved with.
Okay. Yeah, I think that there is no surprise that a lot of us grid workers ended up on your ranch at this very exact time with the election, with the infrastructure changing, et cetera. And I am fortunate enough to have been tagging along with these wonderful people that I did not know before today. So neither Emmy nor Petri did I know as far as people, much less workers, at least on this plane of existence prior to today, nor did I know James or anybody else here as Joseph and Ashley. So I think there's no mistake in the timing. I was called very strongly by my guides probably about 2 years ago to go to Shasta, and then I sort of just did that on a remote basis for myself, and then I got called again to say, your body needs to go to Shasta. And when I did that, I found that these other friends were coming to the ranch, which I was not aware of at that time, but I now found a new place to hang out. I think I'm definitely going to be a groupie. But yeah, what I do for a living, James, is I basically am a light worker. I'm an energy practitioner full-time by trade. I've been doing that full-time for probably about 10 years. What that means is I work on people, animals, land, space, mm-hmm. paranormal, spirit, et cetera. But as an individual, my work for universe and off-planet has been extremely tenaciously working on grids, sacred mm-hmm. geometry, for very many years, with basically connecting with the Orion system and specifically doing a project for about 5 years that I was having some help on and kind of came to fruition today called the Crucifixion Implant. And so we had quite an experience, and we'll get into that after the other two do some introductions. But, no, I was very excited and blessed and thrilled to be able to not only be here and meet you, James, and your crew and your wonderful people here and your mountain, but this other group of people that was so supportive today. So it was great.
Great. Let's see if we can bring Emily on. Emily, are you with us?
Hi.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's really wonderful to be here. And I actually met you over at the Desert Contact in the Desert earlier this uh-huh. year. And at that point, my friends that are here right now, Lisa and Jane and actually Terry, who couldn't make it, we decided that we would come. At that point, Petri was still in Finland, and so we didn't know we were making this plan. But when I spoke to one of my teachers, he was adamant that this was an important trip to make. And now I understand why, because of our experience today. And although I have a daytime job and we have daytime jobs, what Petri and I do on our weekends and nights is we see our clients, and we have been dedicating to helping people align to their original blueprint, to mm-hmm. aligning frequencies. So that's really what we've been doing, and it's been a beautiful, beautiful process. We've been working with families as well as just individuals. And so today, yesterday when we met Suzanne, she's a dear friend of Jane, our friend, we felt that it was something that we could do together, and that's what we did today. So here's Petri, my husband.
Great. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hello. Yeah. Yes, my name is Peter Petri Taivo, and I'm coming from Finland, and I want to say people like what I'm doing now. I left my plumbing business and everything. I started healing people and helping people because I have to start doing the things and understand people what's going on. And I have that information already, and I want to share now that everything's with Emmy, and we're doing that work together and like to do that and helping people to understand what's going on. That's
great.
That's my work now.
Yeah, well, thanks for your contribution and the work both all of you are doing. Maybe we can bring Suzanne back on and talk about some of your experiences here.
Yeah, I think I wanted to explain, I don't know if everybody is really familiar with the grid work, and so if I can just kind of explain that briefly, is that okay?
Yes.
In terms of when a grid worker does light work, what that means is when we have our cosmos or our universe, when we have our humanity, when we have our planet, all of those bodies of whatever God package, God source you want to think of, they have what are called logos or blueprints or planetary or cosmic brains. And it is, to me, as a grid worker, I see it like a blueprint. So, for example, if you are building a home and you have a blueprint that shows where your door is and where your window is, when it is constructed, the door or the window will be in place. And that's not dissimilar to the organizational lines of energy that are in all existences of bodies of experiences. So what a grid worker does is we work with moving and transferring information. So a grid worker can potentially say the line of the window is here on the blueprint, but source energy is having me move it over 2 feet and up 2 inches, and we can do that. So what we do is we reorganize information, and we do it in terms of using light and love and sacred geometrics. And it's just a different quantum kind of a work. It doesn't mean anybody's cooler or better or different as a healer. It's just a different kind of the piece of the puzzle. So usually that work is contained in cosmic and transfers information to planetary. And we'll use the human body experience, in my case, to move the information. So I've often said I'm kind of like an alien flash drive. My body will tap into one plane of existence, load up the information, and transfer it to the other plane of existence, if that makes some sense.
So it'd be like some low-level carpenters didn't really know what they're doing, try to put a house together, and then you all of a sudden you see that blueprint, and then you see another blueprint, which would be a lot better, a lot more efficient, and coming from a higher level. And so you kind of do the adjustments on it to match the higher blueprint, the one that would be more usable or more earth friendly or whatever.
Or more stable, you know, and much more conducive to flow. And so a lot of times what happens in these blueprints is what we would call, we talk a lot about the negative aliens and the negative alien agenda. And what we find from way back to the initial starseed races, and we're going back to like Orion, pre-Orion wars, etc., what we find is we will have a blueprint programming situation where the negative alien agenda will place a program in an energetic format into that actual grid pattern. And what that does is it not only affects that universal body, but it will duplicate because we're a pattern within a pattern within a pattern. So if we've got an intergalactic cosmic blueprint program running, we as a human body will oftentimes have it in our body, and the planet itself, ours being Earth, will carry it as well. So what I've been doing as a galactic worker is specific to working with the Orion races, and it's been probably about a 5-year project that I've been doing, and I by no means am the only light worker doing this. I know inside of my being that I work with light workers all over the place doing this. I just didn't meet any until today. And yesterday, actually, because James, when I saw you, you were one of the ones that's helping me get some of it out of my body. The problem being a light worker when we have a human meat body is that our meat body takes a hit, and you and I were kind of laughing about that yesterday because I think you have the same thing, right?
Oh, yeah. Boy, my body's just taking so many hits. And, I mean, they, you know, especially when you're going up against the Archons constantly and dealing with these serpent beings and these, you know, reptilian beings and things like that, you take hits. You know, it comes with the territory. And a lot of people go, well, if you're really involved, that wouldn't happen. And I said, well, you get in my shoes and walk my shoes for a little while, and you tell me, come back and tell me your spiritual aphorisms aren't going to work in this realm. You know, this is where you get down and do the work.
And it is hard work, and we did sign up for a meat body, and it isn't that easy to hold a blueprint in there. And I think sometimes it's a little difficult to be one of our kind of workers because you feel very ostracized or alone in terms of people don't have any idea that with that when you're saying, I know my head's tracking something in the multi-universal galactic system right here in my left eye, you know, they're all like, okay, crazy lady. But when you come to your ranch, it's normal.
Yeah, you know, so the best way I've had it explained to me is that, you know, the Earth was hijacked. Basically, it was designed to be an Eden, and it was terraformed, and it was a really good idea. And basically, it got hijacked by, you know, some reptilian forces back in the Anunnaki days, way back then, you know, 600,000 plus years ago. Some hijacking came about, and then there was another reset, and then it got hijacked again, so... So we're dealing with this hijacking, these implants or these, the Archon grid, you know, or reptilian Draco grid, whatever you want to call that. There's actually a grid that was put in place that's holding people, you know, enslaving people and suppressing people and keeping people from making their own personal, you know, God connection. And
right.
You're talking a lot about that through history. A lot of events were actually, you know, in the grid that we need to release and so we can make that connection.
And remember that grid duplicates pattern after pattern. So you as a human meat sack walking around has that grid in your DNA, whether you know it or not. So you are running enslavement programs all of the time if you haven't done clearing. And you're running implants and you're running, we're like a mass supercomputer. And if we're not on task with de-virusing, you know, our ignorance is still running the system. So on behalf of, you know, the bigger picture, what a galactic light worker does is try to clear the grid so that the bigger puzzle pieces can fall into place. And it's very holographic work. It's very much, if you can think of, like a kaleidoscope. When you twist the kaleidoscope, one shard changes everything. And so it's super important to know that everything goes boop, 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 all at the same time. And we can change literally the world. And I think that's why it's so fascinating that we all ended up at your ranch right before the most crazy election that we've ever had is meat bodies. And, you know, you've got some serious stuff going down. So very quickly, what the crucifixion implant specifically is about is it is a, think of what crucifixion means. It is like, I've lost everything. I've died for the cause. And when we get to that dogmatic religion, then we have created a false God attitude in terms of we created a guy, first of all, that has some semblance of an ego for some reason that can separate from somehow us. And that's all the mess that it created, this crucifixion implant. So, and again, I'm not here to tell you what your belief systems should be because I have no right to do that. But as a worker, God is an essence of non-judgmental anything. There is no ego attached. So the dogmatic program that came out of the crucifixion implant became separation of source. Therefore, we've been living in fear, male-dominated programming for eons. So this brings back Mother God. This brings back full balance. This brings back co-creation. This brings back love, compassion, forgiveness, and kindness, etc. So it's the balance. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. I know that the images that we have of God, most of religions have a bearded God, and that comes from the Anunnaki and the way they behaved. And some of the Anunnaki were very loving and caring and loved their creations and were genetically altering the humans that were existing here naturally. And then some were very wrathful and jealous, and they just wanted to end the experiment. And so we have all of these weird images of this bearded wrathful God or this bearded loving God, you know, and it's kind of crazy making unless you know the real history of Earth.
And again, separate. It's a separate. When I work with clients day in and day out and I try to say the word that you are a co-creation of that God source, their eyeballs get really big and they say, what? You know, I'm a what? Because that's power. And we're mostly scared of our power because we've been deprogrammed. So this is something that has happened over and over and over and over again. But I think what's so fascinating to meet this group of people today is I was recently handed a book that I was told to read before I came in my mind. And I kept arguing with my own mind, going, no, I'll read it on vacation. And then my guides kept saying, you'll read it before vacation. And then I said, no, and then I did. Read the whole thing, and lo and behold, it was a fascinating book on the Essenes, which are, of course, the higher order that was the secret group that was the teachers of the Christ, the actual mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. And it was the masters, it was the ones that understood the higher source that we have within us, meaning our psychic skills, etc. And I read this whole entire book, and it was fascinating because this book is another practitioner. It is not Dolores Cannon. It's similar to Dolores Cannon. It was Stewart is one of the names, and I don't have it in front of me. I apologize, but I guess we can get it to you if anybody asks the name. But it is a book that records a lot of past life regressions of a group of people that were all Essenes in another lifetime and were then friends in the third dimensional this world lifetime. So they hypnotized all these people together, and they got the so-called true story of the actual Jesus Christ crucifixion. And mm-hmm. I think what was so fascinating is it said a lot of work was done by the actual alien races to use crystals and ley lines and activate the actual area way prior to Christ even being born, much less getting crucified, to hold energy patterns in grid format, again, using the grids, and activate an actual area to create the so-called tomb, which was indeed a healing chamber. So when the Christ mm-hmm. was actually crucified, he was actually held out of body, this book claims, by the actual healers on such a high vibration because they were holding space for him, and that when they took the body back down, they put it in the tomb, which was indeed a healing chamber, and they actually brought him back into body, and then they released mm-hmm. him and brought him out of the country. And I was fascinated by this book because as I read it, I'm like, that makes so much more sense to me. But I thought what was so incredibly interesting was the ley lines working with the crystals, activating them as a group format and working through the meridians in the actual earth is what activated it in the body. So again, pattern within a pattern within a pattern. So mm-hmm. when I came here to your rant, and prior to this I was in Shasta, moving a lot of this negative alien agenda still in the grid lines of crucifixion, then I end up at your rant, and Emmy actually was the one who said, Suzanne, I think I need to still help you with your head a little bit, because she could see I had this little thing stuck in my right eye still. And when I worked with you, James, we were trying to release it also. We called it a shard of an mm-hmm. implant still, and I knew this was the end of my crucifixion implant work, and I just needed some assistance. So if I can start the story, is that okay with you? So sure. Emmy was adorable, and she said, I just had my my session with James, and he suggested I go to the Lemurian Hill, I think you call it.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And you want to tell that what that is?
Well, basically, this is ancient Lemuria. The land that we're on right now is part of the ancient Lemuria, and there's a mound here. That it's a beautiful little mound, and it's been here forever, and there's trees all around it. And there was an old Lemurian master that used to sit and meditate on that mound. And so when I went over there to meditate, when I first got on the ranch, I said I was just drawn to that mound, and I sat there. Next thing you know, I'm having a conversation with this guy. And and I go, whoa, this is intense, you know. And then the trees started vocalizing too, and it was a pretty intense experience. But
if anybody hasn't checked it out at this ranch, you have got to, because those trees talk. I mean,
they talk. And you know, that mound, I've had experiences there where I've actually gone invisible. I've actually disappeared in my meditations. And I've had coyotes walk right up to me, and they're sniffing, like getting closer and closer. And they never saw me until they're like 2 feet away. And I just went boo. You know, I went boo to them, and they jumped straight up in the air and did a little howl, you know, and then growled at me. They're kind of mad because I scared them, you know. But a lot of crazy stuff happens on that mound. I've had a lot of people take photographs of people, you know, phasing in and out.
Well, and so they asked if they could work on me there. And I guess the way that I would like to handle this is I'm going to leave it over to these two to tell you from the perspective of what they did healing my physical body.
Okay.
And then I'm going to jump back in and tell you what the actual information that downloaded during the process was, if that works for everybody?
Sure.
Okay.
So what I offered Suzanne was that I could see that there was some form of energy on her right side of her head, her face. And during my meditation last night, I was shown how to arrange these particular type of crystals that I've been working with that are called plasma sentient beings. They're very clear. They're just these amazing new crystals. And I was shown to place them in a different way around her head. I've been using them in a grid. Petri and I, we work with crystals, we work with sound, and we work with a variety of different tools, but at the same time we use energy by creating a particular environment when we work with people. So this is why I knew that it wasn't going to be placed in a grid around her as I'm usually using it. I needed to place it in more of a circular format around her head. But as we started to do this, we were sitting outside looking at the beautiful Mount Adams, and I was asked to go to where this mound is that you have, and I was shown by the trees there how to position Suzanne. And so we went there, and we started to do the work, and one of Suzanne's teachers appeared to me in my mind's eye, and I could see his face, and he introduced himself and asked if he could please participate. And of course, I will always say yes to these amazing beings, and so I can feel them sometimes working through me. Now, Petri is the one that sets up the actual protective environment that that we use to do the work in. So, Petri, you want to say just briefly how you set up the space?
Yeah, like how I see people every time, and I want to look into their energy, and if I see something black or something like the energy not moving or something, and that's my work. I put in the circulations and the meridians and it's moving, and that's very important, because if your body reacts to anything, you don't get anything, and that's the very important work, and I put in like a people party running, that energy, and that's like my work.
And we also set up a space.
Yeah, that's the very important, yes. So that.
So Petri is really good in creating portals, and he will use zero-point energy to create the space that we actually do the work in. So we always feel very safe, and we know that the beings and energies that come are specific to the work that we're doing according to the client. So
great.
Usually we work in a room that's kind of like has four corners to it, but here the arrangement had to be different. So we did do the work, and this Asian teacher of Suzanne did some pretty awesome work through me, and we were able to then detach all these cords that were holding in place this particular implant that looks a lot like an opaque crystal that had a pulsating red light in it. And it was handled very gently, and then a lot of beings gathered as we removed it and gave it to them to take care of and to remove. And then after that is when we placed these crystals and then brought back in all the love that needed to now fill that space, and that was really, really awesome.
So again, what they're doing is they're working on the human body, Suzanne, but because I'm of the galactic grid worker, Suzanne, also, instantly the second that I laid down and tapped in, I was getting downloads like rapid fire on what was actually happening, and I was not even contemplating or thinking or entertaining the thought of the crucifixion implant up until that time. So this wasn't like even pre-thought through by any means. And the second that work began, I'm like, holy bananas, here we go. And I was just shot out. And I stay very present, but I'm very out at the same time. I don't think my physical body has incarnated at all, if at all, as a human before. So I go very galactic when I do this work. And I knew instantly we were in the multi-galactic grid, taking that last shard out of this crucifixion implant. And again, the human body is the duplicate pattern within the pattern, and it just happens to hold in my head. So I was told immediately that the way that the ancient seer comes in, or the teacher or the guide that I have who comes in often for me, he came in because this is way earlier. The knowledge of this particular guide is way earlier than even the chakra system, the meridian system, because we are actually finding the acoustics and implant is partly in those structures. So anybody that's a light worker, body worker, energy worker usually works with meridians and chakras. And we're finding this crucifixion implant was also inclusive and jacking up that system. We usually work with a 7, and we're finding out that there's actually 9 and that there's some 0 points in there, and we'll get into that in a second. So instantly, I'm realizing this is what we're doing. I'm also being told that my body is downloading both Emmy in terms of the knowledge and Petri in terms of the body motion movement. So they, as healers, can bring this information to their client base and start to activate the human bodies on planet so that they can start to release this as well. So it's working simultaneously, if that makes sense, James, in terms of letting it go multi-galactic as well as infusing into the human.
Yeah, definitely. And,
yeah.
You know, it seems like with these shifts going on, as you said, you know, you pull one piece out, and that's what I know. It's like an onion sometimes. You know, you pull the core out, and all the other levels just fall away.
Right.
And so if we can find the core, you know, and the core implant or whatever you want to call it, you know, wherever that core issue is, you can pull it out and the rest just falls away.
Well, I think I need to really let people know how incredibly safe you and your ranch are for the work, because my body for 50-some years has been holding this information, and only until now did I have enough Orion support, Palladian support, Mother Mary support, et cetera, to be able to hold that in my human form to be able to help release that. And it was through your work, through your ranch, through these people's work, to allow the body to actually release that on behalf of other things. So, you know, kudos to you for holding such balanced and beautiful, loving space, because I've even gone to, you know, many, many other sacred spaces, and it only after our little Orion experience in the sky the other night, I guess, was helpful too. Only after finding the Orion guides and really being able to fully align with the galactic self, it was safe for me to let that go. So basically, when that got let go, what I was told was these people sitting on this phone call in another lifetime, I'm told, were a theme, and that they were in another lifetime part of that Jesus Christ crucifixion implant, and that they were some of the people holding and working with the crystals on the meridian line so that that activation process in planet was affording the strength to ascend the Christ body so it would be able to, quote-unquote, not really die and be reactivated again. So they have ancient knowledge that they weren't even aware of either. And I think that that was a blessing for them today, because now they can bring that into the third dimensional world. On a bigger scale, I think what really blew my mind was it claimed that this brought such grid opportunity of the zero point in the grid to be able to hold planetary ascension for the first time. Because many of us grid workers know, you included, James, the planet starts to ascend. We've got this. And then it kind of goes, and it peters out. Like,
yeah.
The grid can't hold, you know?
We've been having power outages on the grid.
And all of us light workers are like, what the heck? We think we got this, and, you know? And I think it's because this hasn't been able to hold in zero point. And today, we were offered zero point. So it was amazing.
Yes,
yeah, I do believe that the these shifts that are happening right now, there's so much force behind them. It's like we're having 11th dimensional ships coming in here, and beings that one people told me that these 11th dimensional beings are like the Elohim on steroids, you know?
Yeah.
So, and they're backing up, you know, the Palladians, the Orion Council of Light, and the other, you know, groups that are helping out. I'd love to get your take on, you know, the Orion system's gotten a really bad rap. And we were talking about that earlier, and I think it's important that we do talk about the Orion Council of Light and the people that have gone, you know, to bat for us, and they have dealt with the reptilians in their past, and they know how to deal with these invasion forces, and they're actually working on our behalf for the planetary liberation. But there's so many people that are, you know, giving them a really bad rap and painting it everything as evil coming from the Orion system, which it's a huge system.
Right. And I think that is true. And again, that was a blessing in meeting you to clarify that, because I've been a pretty alone standing Orion Galactic worker sitting in the state of Minnesota going, I think that they're great. And everybody else is, aren't those the crazy reptilian grays? Aren't those the evil ones? Aren't those the dark ones from the original wars? And to me, when I tap into it and go inside, they've always been safe. The ones that I work with, I'm not ignorant that there is a negative side to that agenda, but I think that the positive side has been really ignored or not activated as much as it could and should be, and I think that's part of this change also.
Yeah, J.J. Hertek talks a lot about them as being they created the original light bodies that dropped down, you know, and became physical and things like that. So he, you know, speaks very highly of them as well in his research.
Well, and I think you hit what this is about. The light body is what these two knew from their Essene work. And Petri is so funny because he understands the zero point, and he, in his work right now, even before today, is very tenacious about setting the zero point so that it can be a different pattern of work. And then it's called the wave pattern for the light body now. It's not a vortexual movement of a chakra. It's not a straight movement of a meridian. It's a wave movement of the plasma body. It's a different higher vibration now that this work is offering. And it's fun because he already knew it, but he didn't know that he knew it, kind of a thing.
Yeah. That's so interesting. I'm thinking all the time that zero energy, that's space, and but it's so interesting. You say that, and I'm looking at you as, holy moly, that girls know something.
No, and it's very interesting, James, because in the work that we do, and I was sharing with Suzanne last night, we were, like, so excited because it's like, oh, we understand each other. I see these matrices, these grids around people and their constellations. So it's a form of astrology, but like on steroids. And so the work that we do, you know, understanding the divine blueprint of people is understanding all these constellations that are part of us, because like in the work that we did with you earlier today is understanding that we've had lives in all these different parts of the universes. And so in the work that we do, you know, sometimes I can see all these like different layers of people's information, and I see how these like in a matrix board of a computer, you know, you see all these lines that are moving around, and as we're doing the work and as we're placing crystals and as we're bringing in the sound and all these things start to light up and it starts to balance, and then we're doing an alignment of the body hara line, and we're doing an alignment of the soul hara line, and what we're doing is we're connecting them. We're connecting both of them so that we can truly align these frequencies to the original ones, not the ones that we were necessarily born with, but the ones that our spirit has been carrying, so that we can truly awaken and ascend to where we need to go. So this has been, for us, really fascinating work, because the kind of people that we've been working with are not the people who are into meditation or metaphysical or anything. They come to us because they hear of us, and the kind of experiences that these people have during the session, mind-blowing, you know, for us. I mean, because it's so beautiful to see someone who had no concept of this all of a sudden wake up and they cry and they say, I went home. I know I went home. Right. And some of them have images of actually seeing aliens and seeing people welcoming, and they just cry with joy. So it's really a very rewarding thing. But today, what we did today is part of what I think, and as I was telling you, Suzanne, last night, is that I kept feeling there was something that was missing, and I couldn't quite figure out what it was, and Petri and I have been talking about it. And so today, the gift was unwrapped.
Yep. And I think the gift is intergalactic, and the holder of the gift is you and your ranch, and I think the quality of your heart chakra, James, holds this space in this ranch to be able to have a safe movement. And when a grid worker does that kind of work in a unified force like we all did today, no grid worker works alone. When I'm in Minnesota doing my work, I'm no by any means doing the crucifixion deprogramming alone. But what happens is when we do that kind of a work, because we're a pattern within a pattern, definitely Stargate portals are opening, intergalactic opportunities are coming in. We know you and I were talking 999 portals have been opening since, you know, September 9th, 2016. These are new codes that are coming in. All of this synergy is happening at the same time because these patterns are shifting again like a holographic kaleidoscope. And so the strength is coming in. So it's no surprise to me that the craziness in our third dimensional world is going to continue. But the balance is coming in intergalactically a gazillion fold because of this kind of work that everybody's doing, if that is kind of clear.
Yeah, it's that 100th monkey thing. I think enough people keep doing this work, and when you get those core issues and pull them out of the grid, then everything else will shift, you know, and start moving, you know, the ascension process will start moving much quicker.
Yeah, because a crucifixion implant to a quote-unquote normal person works like this. It runs down your hyoidal line, which is, by the way, your backbone, your spine, and your central nervous system. It also crucifies through the heart chakra. So what that does as a normal person is it gives me a fear quotient on a daily basis in sense of self and being. So what we do then is we jack our root chakra, which is supposed to connect us to the planetary existence, our mother god, and we have jacked that root chakra and replaced it with belief systems, which are then programmed from childhood. So we're having a lose-lose situation in the human existence with a crucified hara line and heart chakra hara line, and then replacement of belief systems in the foundation of why I'm even a human. We now find ourselves worrying about fear-based issues. I don't have enough money. I don't have a job. Uh-huh. I don't have the right relationship, blah, blah, blah. And we have forgotten who we are and why we are here, which is a unified force of the God source in creating love. And so hopefully by removing these implants, it is going to not only realign the human body in terms of the hara line, heart chakra, root base, et cetera, but the whole intergalactic holographic picture at the same time.
Yeah, I noticed the heart is really, there's so much focus on the mind, and the patriarchal program here is all mental. It's ego base, you know, ego drive base, and which is really sad because your heart, your soul sits next to the heart, and your soul's connected to the source. And we should be getting our information subjectively through the heart on what we need to do, you know, and carry it out, you know, through the objective side, which would be the male side. So, you know, we need to balance that out within ourselves, the male, female. But I see so many times that there's all this just pure mental, heartless energy going on right now. And we're seeing it in politics. I mean, you know, for God's sakes, I mean, I'm all for a woman president. And I would like to see a council of grandmothers running the planet, but not this woman, you know, that's running. It's I don't even think she's a woman, you know, but the way she operates like a man, and she's very power hungry, very controlling, dominating. I mean, everything, all the aspects that are not feminine, you know, she's, you know, exemplifying.
But here's my frustration with the conversation on politics. There's a reason for that, James. We've created her. We have created her. She is a mirror vision of the absolute programming that we as a collective consciousness and humanity have created. We have, regardless if we're male or female, created a fear-based male essence. And she is the epitome of it. So it makes me kind of giggle that people are angry or frightened, because it's like the reason you're angry and frightened is you're looking in the mirror. So my take is go home and do your homework. Go home and find your feminine, regardless if you're male or female. Go home and get your balance. Get your root chakra out of your crown chakra and your crown chakra out of your root, because we are flipped. The polarization in the human body is why we got programmed on the mental basis, because we flipped those chakras. The programming was easy because it became mental. And if we can get back to the emotional base, then we're good. So
the emotional body is so much bigger than the intellect and the mental body. It's massive. And, by nature, a lot of people get upset at me for saying this, you know, some men get a little upset about this, but women, their brains operate faster. They're more in touch with their emotional body. They're more connected by nature to spirit because they're more subjective by nature. They haven't had that beaten out of them over eons of time. You know, if you showed sensitivity as a man, it would be seen as weakness and you'd get your butt kicked, you know, or you'd get a spear run through you or something, you know, over history. And so it's really backwards.
It's true. Yeah. And I think why we're not emotional is truly the second dimension. The plane of existence, the second dimension, is broken completely. Mm-hmm. So not only is the Mother Earth connection broken, but the second dimension, which is, you know, plants and animals, fairies, gnomes, the magical world of the kingdom of the elementals, which is emotional body, is blah, gone. And that got replaced by think feel. If I say, hey, how are you today? You say, fine. How do you feel about that? Okay. Those are not emotions. Those are think fields.
Yeah.
So we need to activate not only our emotional body, but we need to reactivate the elemental kingdom, which is, again, part of what your structure out here does. It works with nature.
And, you know, everything you've ever been is recorded in your soul as emotions, and you access it through emotions, not through the intellect. And so, you know, it's such a limited focus to allow this, you know, old program, that this objective, patriarchal, intellectual program to try to run this planet. It's so dysfunctional, it just needs to come to an end. I think it is, because the divine feminine energy is coming in right now, and the women that are in touch with that divine, loving, nurturing side that are coming forward right now are really stepping into their power and owning it, and they're not going to be subjective to the nonsense anymore.
Well, and it's not just women. I mean, we've got Petri sitting here who had the most mental touch and healing hands, and we can be a male with that female quotient.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all about balance, but, you know, I just think the world's really out of balance right now, so the pendulum's probably going to have to swing a little bit the other way to bring it back into balance, you know. And, you know, I was meditating one day, and a lot of people that know my story, they know I almost died at 5 years old, and Mary kept appearing to me and brought me back around. And so I'm very connected to that energy, but I've been getting images of like Mary with a bat, you know. It's like the divine feminine is coming in, and it's just done with what's been going on and what's been happening to the children and the planet and everything else, and it's coming in strong. And you know, the Mother Earth, or whatever you want to call it, Gaia, Sophia, everybody has a different name for it, she's coming on strong. She's awakening, and I think we're gonna go through a major, like a quantum leap right now in evolution as soon as we get this balance back in order.
And I think lastly, water is so critical to be working with as healers, and
yeah.
Anybody that is a human, the actual sacral chakra, we think is just water, but you and I were chatting earlier, James, in terms of this is one of the misconceptions, because we aligned some of those, you know, oh, we've got our root chakra aligned with earth, we've got water for our sacral, we have fire for our solar plexus. That actually is one of the misconceptions about the zero point. In my opinion, you've got earth in that root chakra. You have both water and fire in the sacral, so that, again, it depletes each other and becomes a zero point. And then we put air into the actual solar plexus, which is more free of the conditioning and the programming in that human mental field. And then we pull ether into the heart, so it's the God space. So, again, we've been programmed differently. We need that duality balance of zero point in the sacral chakra. So working with water, fire, water, fire, water, fire, not just water and not, God forbid, just fire. So it's that zero.
Yeah, the balance. Hey, yeah. Unfortunately, we're coming up to the end of the hour, so I'll have to be signing off. But, you know, I can't thank all of you enough for coming on the show and sharing the wisdom and the experiences that you've been having here. And I'm sure we've got more to come, because we're going to be doing a sky watch and a little gathering here right after the show and bring in the higher dimensional energy. So again, thank you all for coming on the show, and we'll stay in touch and probably have to do it again real soon.
Great.
Yeah,
thank you, James, for the opportunity.
And thanks for the safe space to work. We appreciate you holding down the fort.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Well, anyway, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network, signing off. Watch the sky, stay in the heart, and, you know, keep your humor going, because this is so ridiculous, it's actually becoming humorous, you know, what's unfolding here. And, you know, just hold that frequency, hold space until we get through this shift. Anyway, focus on love and joy and bliss until you become it. Have a great evening. Good night.